Group E, we have our top seed, which is not Italy, but Belgium, second best team in the world at the moment, according to the FIFA World Rankings.
That's crazy.
Definitely a very good team, strong players all across the board. You should know very well about that, having two of them in your team. And apparently, Fellaini's one of them because the coach can't stop saying enough good things about it. And, according to Belgium fans, United fans are going to learn how to use Fellaini properly when they watch the Euros. So, well, I look forward to seeing that. But look, Belgium, I don't think we can even call them a dark horse team anymore. They're one of those really strong teams with really good players. Belgium is the new Spain.
Yeah.
You know, the new old Spain. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because Spain now are awesome, but new old Spain.
Yeah. We've got new Spain now, but Belgium are the old Spain. New old Spain.
Yeah. They play a fantastic brand of football. They've got good players all across the board. And look, this tournament is one of this generation of Belgian players, one of their last chances to get, they've got this tournament and the next World Cup.
Yeah.
They want to win one of those. If they win this tournament, they can win the next World Cup.
Oh, definitely.
But they're not in an easy group.
No.
As I was saying, they're another team. You'd expect a four-time World Cup winning team to be the seeded team in your group, but they're not. Italy, a team that admittedly are not as strong as they could have been.
And they are having some troubles.
They're having a lot of troubles.
Yeah.
And Serie A itself is having a lot of trouble, and Italian football is having a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And there seems to be quite a bit of, I know it's an Italian team, so you get this anyway, but quite a lot of discord between players and coach and players and players and all sorts. There's lots of name calling and all sorts going around.
Well, we'll see how it plays out for Italy. They've always have good players. They always, and come tournament time, they do either really bring it or not bring it, and falter terribly.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, see, they're not not picking their MLS players. The coach has gone, nah, they're playing MLS, that's not good enough. Berrettoli apparently is not showing the right character to be picked for the Italian team. Apparently, prima donnas aren't wanted in the Italian team at the moment.
Where are they getting their players from, if not Italy? I mean, they're the Italian team.
It's obviously, no, Berrettoli. So I don't know, I don't know. Apparently all the rest aren't prima donnas. So who knows? But yeah, there's lots of name-calling going around and all sorts of fun around the Italian team. As I say, it's sort of par for the course for the Italian team, really.
Ireland, while in usual tournaments, I would pick them as a team that could surprise a few, but I think this group is just too strong for them. Every team will be targeting them as the team we have to get points on. We have to bring our game.
And when it's Ireland, that's the team you're targeting like that. That just makes it even crazier because they're not going to be a pushover.
No.
They're going to be able to take points off you. They're going to be able to win some of these games.
Absolutely. But so, I don't think it's not the 90s anymore. Nobody underestimates Ireland these days. People know what to expect, excuse me. And Ireland also are not the while they're a good enough team, if this was a 16 tournament Euros, they wouldn't be here. But you could argue Italy, Sweden, and Belgium probably all would be. So I feel like Ireland could be picked on similarly to Albania in the other group. Hopefully not. Hopefully they can squeeze in a point here and there. Maybe against Italy. That's a team they seem to traditionally do quite well against in tournament times. We'll see. They might even do it to Belgium. Belgium could prove their new Spain-ness by totally dropping the ball here. That being said, Sweden, Ibrahimovic, potentially his last tournament for Sweden. Well, 2 years' time, we'll see what he got. This is his last chance to have a really good tournament at international level for Sweden.
He's talking a big game at the moment about how he's coming into his prime. He's still at the peak. This is his golden years. So
it's one of those things. Ibrahimovic is one of those players who you know is in good form when he's cocky and when he's blatantly loudly cocky. When he's quiet and not saying much, that's when you're like, what's happened?
What's wrong, bro? Come on, pick it up.
Yeah.
No, and he's definitely being loud and cocky at the moment. So that's, you know, boding well for Swedish fans. But yeah, so with Sweden in there, that's, I look at Group E and just go, that is,
well, they get to start off against Republic of Ireland. If they win that game well, then who knows what can happen. And Belgium play Italy first off the bat. It could easily be a drawn game there, and Sweden could easily take a 2-point lead.
Yeah, who knows?
From the group early and push on from there.
Yeah, as I say, this group, I couldn't pick it. I would expect Belgium probably to top the group, but any one of those teams have a case that they could top the group.
We're probably looking at all top three qualifying from this group, probably.
I would expect. I think both this one and Group D, the third place team would probably be good enough to be qualifying through as well. Well, they should be, if the tournament structure makes any sense, really.
Now, Group F might be the group of anti-death. we have our seeded team, Portugal, and we all know who plays for them. And we have tournament newbies, Iceland, making their first major tournament appearance, Hungary, and Austria. Austria last made an appearance when they hosted the Euros in 2008. Was won by Spain, and I can't even remember the last time Hungary were in a major tournament.
Yeah, it's probably quite a while ago, actually.
Football historians will probably prove me wrong, but in my head, I am thinking it's the 1986 World Cup in Mexico when they were last in a major tournament. So, well done, Hungary, for coming back to the big stage. Obviously, for a team that's made a World Cup final before. That's not that's not quite good enough of their record. But they're playing against their former rival partner colonial overlord. Well, it's Austria and Hungary. They once had like a joint empire. You know where I was going with that. They start off the tournament against Austria, and at the same time, Portugal play the newbies, Iceland. I can't see Portugal not qualifying from this tournament.
No, from this
Cristiano Ronaldo loves playing against weaker sides. He is a bit of a flat track bully, as we all know. And
definitely.
If he gets into a good piece of form, he could be very dangerous next turn, coming up. And the other three teams here are so even that I feel like you want to finish second. Being third in this group will not be enough to qualify for the next round. You'll probably have too many draws. So everybody will, I almost wonder whether you take the game against Portugal lightly, rest your good players, and just concentrate on beating Iceland. And if you're Hungary or Austria, would you do that? Like, concentrate hard on that first game and then hope to beat Iceland, and then that's enough for second.
I think that's it. Especially since Iceland and Austria are the last game. I think that's the way. So, yeah, Austria-Hungary, whoever wins out of that, they've got to, I mean, Hungary has Iceland next, so they're perhaps in the slightly more box seat there. Mm. But I think Austria, it's a bit,
if that Austria-Hungary game ends as a draw and Portugal win, then Hungary will really need to win that game against Iceland. They don't want Austria to go into the last game being like, we've got our destiny under control, or we can scrape through with a draw or something like that.
You've got to force the issue by taking that game.
And especially since at the same time Austria will be playing Portugal.
Yeah.
And so it could very well end as a draw, that Austria-Hungary game. And if Iceland managed to pick a point against Hungary, I think that's both teams' tournaments done. Austria will pretty much have it at a canter.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
There's advantages and disadvantages, obviously, to playing first and playing second. Well, and heck, Portugal, if they beat Iceland and Hungary might not go that hard. Iceland and Austria might not do so hard against Hungary. They're pretty much guaranteed to make the next round, but they might want to avoid playing a top seed, so playing another second place team. So they'll might try to finish top and play against a third place team. But that's the thing. It's a tournament which I think Cristiano Ronaldo great player that he is. He is missing, similar to Messi, and tournament like a career defining moment.
Yeah.
Messi at least made the finals of a World Cup.
Yeah.
Which they lost. He could have nearly won them that game, but it was a close run thing, and there was their one last chance of winning a tournament in their home continent, yeah. But it wasn't to be. Portugal, similarly, Cristiano's Portugal in 2004 made it all the way to the finals and lost to Greece.
Yeah.
And which they were hosting, and well, that Cristiano Ronaldo back then was still quite young. And they made it to third place in the World Cup after that.
That was really a sign of great promise for the Portugal team. Mm-hmm. But over the intervening years, they sort of never really lived up to that. So, I mean, maybe it's Ronaldo's last chance to really, well, not quite last chance, but
it really depends on the players coming up for Portugal. Like, they have a good team. While you still have a player like Cristiano Ronaldo being Cristiano Ronaldo, you're always in with a chance in a knockout tournament.
Yes, exactly.
He just needs to have three or four moments of brilliance and picks it up. And the difference between Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, I think it's defined quite easily by how they play an international level. Lionel Messi for Argentina, while a great player, because the Argentine team cannot be built around Messi, he is nowhere near as good. Whereas Cristiano Ronaldo, I think, is good in any team and he's the sort of player that improves the players around him because he is so good that even if other people pick up their games just slightly and do something for him, he will basically take initiative and burn. Like, this is, you go for that. You're a bit more careful about your Hail Mary passes and playing solid and just doing enough so that he can carry you over the line, and it builds morale. That's why teams improve around
them. Well, it gives you a focal point as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to do your job, and you've got this guy that can win the game for you as long as you do your job.
Mm.
And so that means you don't have to worry.
And too so much. You go, if I do just a bit better than my job, and
well, I mean, if you're doing your job, you've got to do your job well. You've got a task set to you. Mm. Do this. This is what you're doing, and you can focus on what you need to do. And you do it well, and you do it very well, and you're doing your best, but you know that you don't have to worry about something else. Ronaldo's got that covered, and he'll fill in the gaps.
So, I see Portugal qualifying. I can't pick between Austria and Hungary, but I think it'll only be one of them making the next round.
Yeah. I'd probably pick Austria as going through over Hungary.
But
it's going to be, as I say, I only see two coming out of that group.
Now, other than our teams and how it goes forward, which are the players you think are going to bring it this tournament? Who are you looking forward to seeing?
I think Ronaldo, it's one of his, you say he's searching for that defining tournament. This might be it. I think your maybe your Hazards, your Courtois, you know, from Belgium, that's, once again, they're the up-and-coming team. Mm-hmm. They're almost the new Portugal, out there. They've got this team full of really bright stars. They're rising up. They're doing wonderful things. To say they're not a dark horse anymore. They're genuine contenders. Maybe this is where they stamp their authority down.
Now, the Belgian coach is notorious because he doesn't like picking Lukaku.
Yeah.
For reasons I cannot fathom.
I can never understand why coaches don't pick Lukaku. I mean, really. And I come from Chelsea. And that was a pastime of Chelsea coaches. Don't pick Lukaku. Sure, he's awesome, but just loan him out. Don't. If he's sitting on the bench, he can just stay there. I never understood. He's an awesome player. And he's done so well at Everton. So I can't understand why.
One of the few good parts of Everton's season. Yeah. And he's in fantastic form. If Belgian, I don't know, see the light and pick him, they're definitely going to be one of the really tough teams to beat.
Yeah.
have a solid defense and their attack will be through the roof, especially Eden Hazard feeding crosses to Lukaku.
And Hazard's starting to get his form back at the end of the season for Chelsea as well. So got a bit of an injury at the very end, which didn't really help.
France also have Paul Pogba. Alex Ferguson's greatest mistake. The player who got let go, and Morgan Schneiderlin in that midfield. And Karim Benzema Frank Ribery. They've got great players. France has always kind of had this good team. They've not quite. They're unlucky to be around at the same time as Germany and Spain. The current version of Spain earlier and Germany now.
Yeah.
Spain are still very good and can still do really well, I think. Especially if Costa picks up some form and is able to get some goals. Germany are Germany. Yeah. There's never anything wrong with them. The players I'm looking for, I think they're going to be motivated and they're just going to have a great tournament. I have a feeling. I feel Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
I have no scientific backing for this. This is purely instinct. Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
Zlatan.
Yeah.
And Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And I will not be surprised if the semifinals of this tournament are Portugal, Wales, Sweden, and Germany or Spain.
Wow.
But if I'm gonna have to pick four semifinalists, I'm gonna go for my heart. That's what my instinct says. My head says it'll be Germany, Spain, Portugal, and Belgium.
Yeah. Pretty much that's the odds on is Germany. It was Germany, France, Spain, and Belgium were the front runners for that semifinal spot. I haven't looked at how the playoff structure works out to see who's there. I think France, say, I don't know if there's a France-Portugal quarterfinal in there. That could be quite an interesting one. And it's one where Portugal could be one of those ones that come into that top four. Same with Sweden, though Sweden's coming out of the Group E, so who knows with that. That could be just who comes out of that group. We'll probably make it through to the semifinals.
With the current format, it's almost no point trying to figure out what the knockout rounds will look like.
No.
We don't know what sort of third place teams will be there and second place teams. So I'm not going to speculate too much about that.
It's more just interesting about where the first place teams are going to be. Mm. And so therefore, where they then get to in the next stage. So after the round of 16, when you get to the quarterfinals.
Well, A1 plays against the whoever finishes third
the winner of B2, F2, assuming they win that 3 CD. So it's the next step there. That's
so B2, F2 could be Austria, Hungary for F, and B2 could be England, Wales, Russia, or Slovakia.
Yeah, it could be any of the four, really. So, but that could be where, so that could be anyone there.
But what are you hoping with this tournament? And the expansion, we know what the format of the next 2 World Cups will be, I'm pretty sure. They're going to keep the 32-team format. If this tournament is successful, do you see the World Cup being expanded to 40 teams? It's been mooted. It's what the Europeans want because they don't want to lose any spots, which is what everybody wants to happen.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, why don't we keep how many we have and everybody else just get more spots? We have a longer tournament and people have more football. Pretty much everyone's happy with this, which is what I think about it. It's the greedy solution.
It is the greedy solution. You get more football. More football. Though it does make me wonder whether the group stage gets diluted a bit too much with 40 teams and you get a bit too much.
No, 10 groups of 4?
10 groups of 4. I suppose, that could be interesting, but you just...
And you basically would end up... Or do you have 8 groups of 5 and you basically go top 4 teams and each group go through and you play a round of 32, 16 and...
Yeah, who knows? That's the interesting bit there is how does that all flow in together? And I suppose that's a little bit the interesting bit is with... 40 teams exactly how they're going to structure the groups and through to the knockout stages. And I see benefits both ways, of like having lots of small groups or less big groups, and just having more knockout stages. Because knockout stages are always quite fun. It's, people like watching the knockout stages really more than the group stage, so perhaps that might be the better way of going, expanding the knockout stage and having some big groups. So the problem about lots of small groups is that even though you get lots of games without too much problem, you're going to basically have one good team who's going to beat everybody, and then it's fighting for second place, and then you go through knockout stage, and the good team's going to, of one group's going to knock out the second team with it, and you're going to be left with the top, you know, however many teams, pretty much.
Yeah, the other way is we could go the old 1982 World Cup way, where we have a group stage and we have a second group stage.
Yeah.
With if we go, half the teams qualify for the second group stage, 20 teams, you could have five groups of four or four groups of five and go.
Four groups of five would be, yeah.
And
then take the top two out of those. I mean, that's the other option as well, look at two group stages.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it, as saying, I get the feeling that knockout, you'd want more knockout games as opposed to less. They do drive that interest a little bit more because the games have a bit more riding on them. There's no point. You can't play for a draw. And plus you get the benefit of perhaps getting extra time and penalties out of it all, which is always entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, penalties, it's to create as too much of a lottery and a horrible way to end it.
We all watch it. We love watching it.
But as a spectator, you're like, could be penalties all the time. It's just hilarious.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have too much riding on the game.
Yeah.
It's your team. You're like, don't know. Win the game in normal time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we'll see. But what are you... So you're not going to pick England as your winner for this? You haven't picked them in your top four, so obviously not.
No. I don't know how England will go. They'll, as you say, they'll flatter the seed. I think they might actually do reasonably well on the group stage. That would be one instant. So that ends up playing what? Either well, it means that they play Portugal in the quarterfinals. So, or perhaps Sweden. So that's going to be the end of it there, pretty much, I would think. And that's probably about as far through as
they're going to go.
As they're going to go. That's about as far as I expect them to go. So, I mean, maybe they'll pull something out and look and actually do well for a change. But
you're not holding your breath.
No. I've watched them. Plenty of other tournaments to know that there's no point in being too optimistic. They're going to do the same things England's done in all the tournaments that I've watched.
So, 40 years of hurt then.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I think I actually would pick Belgium. I think Belgium is going to be their tournament.
It shouldn't. Belgium. All right. I, for some reason, like Portugal, so we'll stick with Portugal for me. All right. Well, that's our thoughts for today. Thanks very much for listening, and look forward to hearing from you next time.
See you next time.